Thank you. If you have your Bible, look with me to the book of Joshua. Joshua, now the third chapter. We're actually going to be dealing with the third and fourth chapter, but just going to read a few verses in the third chapter to get us started. Joshua chapter 3, beginning in the beginning. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from the Acacia Grove, and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So it was, after 3 days, that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way before." And Joshua said to the people, "Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And God blesses the reading of his word. Join with me as we pray. Father, we ask now that you would take your word, that you would touch our hearts. Father, that now you would do wonders among us, that you would change lives, that you would knit together homes. Father, that you would move us beyond obstacles that we are facing. Father, that today would be a day of our claiming victories, Father, that you have wanted for us. And we thank you for what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here they are. They're on the other side of the Jordan, looking across into the promised land. They have a choice to make. Are they going to cross? Are they not going to cross? Are they going to go back into the desert? Well, they've done that before. They had stopped short 40 years ago. They had been in this exact place 40 years before. And when it came time to cross, they got afraid. Some spies went over and brought back some bad news. Two spies said, "We can take them all with Jesus." The rest of them said, "Oh, they're too much for us." And the crowd went with the majority. Sometimes going with majority is not a good thing. The crowd went with the majority, and what they did was they turned back. God had so many good things in plan for them. So many blessings were right there. And because they would not cross that obstacle, they turned back, and they spent 40 years wandering in the desert. Now they're there again. What are they going to do? Well, the truth is, many of those, in fact, most of those who had not crossed before were not there to make the decision anymore. They had passed. Now it's a new generation. And a few that had stood firm for God before, they will not stand away from God's purpose. They're ready to follow God. They're ready to cross the Jordan. You know, these words were written a long, long time ago. Some people wonder, well, what is this old book to me? Some believers go through life, and they go through life really in defeat. Instead of being victorious, they're victimized. Instead of conquering, they're conquered. Instead of overcoming, they're overcome. Instead of being winners, they're whiners. Listen, if you know Jesus, God has a plan for your life that is full and that is blessed and that is purposeful and that is going to bless you and encourage you and that is going to encourage others. That's what God has. But you got to be willing to take it. You got to be willing to take that move. You know, there are three kinds of people. There are lost people. And perhaps among us, some of you have never met Jesus as your Savior. And when we say lost, that's what we mean. You're lost from God because you haven't received Jesus as your own. More than anything else Today, we want you to come to know Jesus Christ. We want you to invite him into your heart. We want him to save your soul. And so some in our listening are lost. And then there are some that are Christians, and you made that choice. You said, I want Jesus. You asked Jesus to come into your heart, but you're not living very victoriously. In fact, you're living a defeated life. You're what the Bible might call a carnal Christian, but you are at least a defeated Christian. And then there are Christians who are claiming the prize. There are Christians that are holding on to Jesus. There are Christians that are seeing God work day by day by day. Now, if we're going to be honest, some of us kind of vacillate between those two points in Christian life. Some days we're defeated, some days we're not. The difference of being a victorious believer instead of being a defeated believer is found in this passage. And it's about crossing the Jordan, leaving behind the wilderness of your life. You see, the truth is most of us live in a wilderness time sometime. Most of us make the choice to turn back from what God desires. Most of us make that sinful choice in our life, and as a result, we wander around in the desert. We waste time. You know, there's an old song, it's wasted years, oh how foolish. Those Israelites wasted 40 years, a lifetime. Moving to Canaan is moving to the promised land. It's moving to God's best. It's accomplishing what God wants you to accomplish. And it involves crossing a river. In this case, crossing the Jordan. Believer, are you facing some river of difficulty in your life today? Is there some obstacle between you and being all that God wants you to be? Maybe a river of worry. Maybe a river of fear. Maybe a river of some habitual sin. Today we're going to see how to face those uncrossable rivers in our life. And today I hope you'll cross over. Now we see them coming to the Jordan in 3:1. We find Joshua rose early in the morning. You know, what you're going to find out about Joshua is he was an early riser. Now, I don't know if he was an early riser all the time, but he was an early riser during this period of his life. Brother Jerry, how do you know he was an early riser? Because you read it in the Bible. In 3:1, Joshua rose early in the morning. In Joshua 6:12, Joshua rose early in the morning. In 7:16, so Joshua rose up early in the morning. And in Joshua 8:10, and Joshua rose up early in the morning. Are you an early riser? Some of you still not up. You know, some of us are prone to early morning. Some of us are prone to a little later. But let me tell you what Joshua got right. Whenever he woke up looking to God. And you need to start your day whenever it starts, put some time there to where you can look to God. You know, I've had people tell me, you know, I just don't have time. We'll get up a little earlier. You know, that's what a doctor says. The doctor says you need some exercise. And says, well, there's no time in my day. Is get up earlier. You'll find time in your day. Joshua got up early and he began his day with God. It is good to get alone with God before you get before people. Some of you got to have coffee before you can talk to people. You know, talk to Jesus before you talk to people. He can lift you up a whole lot better than coffee. I'm not saying you can't have the coffee. I'm just saying he's the one you need to look to. And look to him first thing. I mean, as soon as your mind actually kicks in gear and you know that you're awake, thank God that you have that day. Thank God that you came through the night. Thank God that you slept if you slept. You know, not everybody sleeps. Thank God for the breath that you have. And then ask God to guide you through the course of the day. Praying early sets the course. You know one thing it does? It lets you know God is still there. It lets you know God is with you. And it lets you know God is working. And so you cry out to God and you give him the day. Now that may not be the only time during the day you pray. In fact, I hope it is not. I hope you pray all the time. In fact, we're commanded to pray without ceasing, and I encourage you to do that. You don't have to close your eyes all the time to pray. In fact, if you're driving, I would prefer you not close your eyes. And you know, so we pray through our days because we're making sure that we know that, you know, God doesn't have to hear from us, but we need to know God is hearing from us. And so our calling to God is letting us know, hey, God's in this. I'm not by myself. Some people think of time as being so lonely because there's no one else around. Listen, if you got Jesus, there's always someone else around. Some of you talk to your pets. Some of you talk to yourself. Spend some time talking to Jesus. And take that as a way to kick your day off. Praying early in the day will set your course. They move to the edge of the Jordan, and now they are right there. They're right next to it, and they wait. They wait for 3 days. Well, God has them wait for a purpose. We don't always know what the purpose is in things, but this 3-day thing is pretty important in Scripture. You see, the spies, when they left Rahab, they went to the mountains there to hide, and they stayed there for 3 days before they came to safety. In this case, they are right up against the Jordan, and God has them wait for 3 days before they cross over. Nehemiah waits 3 days before beginning to rebuild the walls. Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days, and Jesus was in the tomb for 3 days. 3 days. You know, God ever has you wait 3 days, just expect something to happen. Expect that God has something great ahead. These were days of waiting on God. These were days understanding God's in control of this. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. You know, we need to wait on the Lord. Now, waiting on the Lord is not inactivity. Waiting on the Lord means serving God where you are while you're expecting God to guide you to the next step. So the next step comes. Joshua tells the leaders to give Israel their marching orders. The Ark of the Covenant is to lead them. Now, you may not be up to date in cubits, 2,000 cubits, about 3,000 yards. That's a pretty good distance. There was a separation between them and the Ark of the Covenant. Part of that was so they would see where they were going. They have never gone this way before. They've never been willing to cross over the Jordan. And so they've never done this before, and so God's going to lead them across. You've never gone through this day before. Oh, you've gone through days. You've seen stuff like it before. But this day is new. Make sure you go through it following God. Make sure you go through it following God, because if you don't follow God, you're going to waste it. There was a separation. Why didn't they get closer to the ark? God said not to. Why didn't they get closer to the ark? They needed to have a respect for God. They needed to know that God was in control of this situation, that they were serving a holy God, and they needed to honor him. Now, this is kind of important for us because we've gotten very lackadaisical about God. We're in a very laid-back, kick-back world, you know. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter where you do it. You know, God, yeah, God's there. And you know, if I got time for him, I'll check in with him. We've lost our respect. And let me tell you, When we turn our backs on respecting God, it filters through society. Look around you, folks. People have no respect. No respect for their elders. No respect for their teachers. No respect for police officers. I encourage you, start showing respect. You know, in the South, I think there was a time when this was worldwide, but since it's been laid on the South, I will say in the South, we were taught to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Some people look at you like you're insulting them if you say that. No, that's respect. And you know, I think children still need to be taught that because adults need to practice it. They need to know if you have a police officer, because of their position, they deserve respect. We need to respect God. Oh, we like to play up the friendship of God, and I'm so thankful I have a friend in Jesus. I am so thankful he sticks closer than a brother. I am so thankful for that. But let me tell you, while I know that is true, I know there is a difference between Jesus and me. He is Lord. I am nothing. And I need to have a respect for him in how I conduct myself. So they had a separation between them in reference for God. The ark is just a box. It's just a box, but it's not just a box. It was made of wood. It had a solid gold lid on it. Every piece of wood about it was covered in gold. Inside were the tablets of the law. In the ark, you got the tablets representing the law of God. Covering the ark was the golden mercy seat. Pure gold representing the love of God. You know what the ark really represents? It represents Jesus. You see, the wood shows his humanity. The gold shows his purity and deity. Inside are the law, which he never broke. He never sinned even once. The mercy seat was where the blood was shed. And Jesus came to shed his blood so that we might be forgiven. So they came to the river. The ark went ahead into the Jordan. It would come out on the other side. This is a spot. Oh, I love this spot. It is etched in my mind. The first time I went to Israel, we were in a group where they were trying to show us how threatened Israel was. And so we went to this spot. You know, it's the spot where the Jordan, it's the Jordan River, but Jordan is on the other side. It's a spot where, you know, that my tour guide said, we have a song like your song. You know, you sing, this land is your land, this land is my land. You know, but our song goes like this. This land is your land, this land is my land, from the Arab border to the Arab border, to the Arab border, to the Arab border. This land was made for you and me. Well, they were trying to show us that, and at that time there were guards everywhere and there were guns everywhere, but we went down to the Jordan River. Now, it's freed up. When we took our group back, it was very easy to go through, but when I was there, it was a little bit more combative. It's the place where Israel crossed over, but it's the place where Jesus was baptized. You see, if you go with a regular tour group, they're going to take you to the Sea of Galilee, and there in the Sea of Galilee, they have a place fixed up for people to be baptized like Jesus was baptized in the water. That's not the place. This is the place. How do you know? Because the Bible tells you it's the place. And so in this place where Israel had to go through the Jordan to get to the promised land, Jesus was baptized to show his life, death, burial, and resurrection, because it is what we have to go through to get to the promised land. And so they're in this very special spot. They have an opportunity for victory, but they've got to cross over. We have an opportunity of victory. Now, he tells them before they cross, they have to sanctify themselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. Tomorrow, God's going to do a miracle. Get ready to receive it. Get it in your mind. There's something special coming. Well, that should be how we feel about every time we get together. There should be an anticipation that there's something special coming. I want you to know, I believe in miracles. I have witnessed miracles. The greatest miracle of all is when God reaches down to a poor sinner's life that's headed to hell, and they confess their sins to God. They turn from their sin. They turn to Jesus, and he brings them up, and he points them toward an eternity with God in glory. Oh, it's a miracle that any of us are saved. It took a miracle to hang the world in space. It took a miracle to fling the stars in place. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. A miracle is simply God working. And if you'll open up your heart, God will do a work in your heart and in your life. Now, God is going to do a miracle. Sanctify yourselves. Get ready. We need to sanctify ourselves. We need to get ready. What does that word sanctify mean? It means wash up, clean up. They would change their clothes and they would wash. They were getting ready. They were prayed up. They were ready for the miracle. My friends, you need to start praying up to get ready for God to do something. People wonder, well, why isn't God working? Well, God's working. Are you getting ready for God to work? Are you preparing for God to work? They look over the Jordan River. Verse 15, for the Jordan overflows its bank at this time of harvest. Now, the Jordan River, I've told you before, if you go there now, it's like a big creek. Oh, but it wasn't always that way. The Jordan River flowed about 100 feet wide for most of its length in its day. But at this time of year, it was different. At this time, the big snow melt came. At this time, it flooded its banks. And at this time, it was a mile wide. They are looking at a mile of uncrossable water. And yet, God has told them to cross over. They have prayed up. They are ready for it. The Israelites looked out over this mile of impossibility. I say that knowing some of you are looking at a mile of impossibility. Some obstacle, something between you and being all that God wants you to be, and it is there staring you in the face. It's time to take a step. You see, your problem seems to be an uncrossable river. It's time to cross over. So we see them crossing the Jordan. Verse 14. So it was, when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan, with the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows its banks during the whole time of the harvest, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zaratan. So the waters that went down into the sea of Arabah, the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Then the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan. And all Israel crossed over on dry ground until all the people had crossed completely over the Jordan. Now this is different from crossing the Red Sea. Crossing the Red Sea, the waters went separated. This is a river flows. What did God do? He cut it off. He cut the flow off. The waters just kept mounting up. He didn't have to build a dam. He just said, stop. And the waters just kind of stopped there. And they rose up in a heap. And the people went across on dry ground. God did a miracle. They came right up to the edge of a Jordan. God said, keep on walking. My friend, God takes you up to the edge where you've got to apply faith and you've got to trust God. There's something you can't get through on your own. You got to trust God. God says, trust me and keep on walking. In chapter 1, every place you place your feet, every place your foot shall tread, I will give you. It's a matter of where they want to walk. In front of them was an uncrossable river. You may be facing that uncrossable river. I don't know what it is in your life. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's a personality trait that God doesn't like. Maybe it's a gossiping tongue. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's a person you've set up as a wall for you. Trust God and start taking some steps. Keep walking, but walk in His will. Walk according to His purpose. We have a God who specializes in impossible crossings. My dad was a CB. Now, I don't know if you ever have known CBs, but he was a CB in the Navy. And the CBs have a slogan. The difficult we'll do right now. The impossible may take a little longer. Well, with God, He can handle the difficult just like He handles the impossible. Our God can part the waters or stop the flow of the impossibility before your life if you're willing to take the step of faith. Take the step of faith. Believe the God that you said that you trust in. Between Israel and the impossibility of the Jordan, there was the Ark of the Covenant representing our Lord Jesus. Between you and whatever you face is a God who is greater than anything can ever be. And greater is He that is in you, my friend, than he that is in the world. So they came to the Jordan. Now they're crossing the Jordan. They put their feet in the water, and at that moment the waters dry up and there is dry ground. By faith, claim the victory. Claim the victory. Walk according to God's will and watch God dry up the river in front of you. Now it comes time to celebrate the Jordan. In chapter 4, verse 1, and it came to pass, when all the people were passed over, the Lord spoke to Joshua and said, take 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe, a man, and command them, saying, take you hence from out of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood, 12 stones, and you shall carry them with you and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge. God wanted them to establish a memorial. Something that would be a reminder. They set up two memorials, two sets of 12 stones. One of them they set in the middle of the Jordan River. One of them they're going to set in the place where they stay that night. You know, when Jesus died on Calvary's cross, we didn't know what he was going through. In fact, we still don't know. Only God the Father could know. Only he could look and understand all the difficulties that Jesus went through. The horrible, horrible thing of bearing our sins. Only the Father would know. In the middle of the Jordan, who's going to see that memorial? Only God. God would know it was there. God would understand. Jesus gives us the victory. Now, crossing the Red Sea, when they crossed the Red Sea and it divided, that is salvation. They were saved from Egypt, and it was a salvation showing for us. You got to accept Jesus. That's the way you get saved. If you haven't accepted Jesus, you are lost. I encourage you to come to Jesus. Crossing the River Jordan is different. That's sanctification. That's beginning to live like a believer in Jesus Christ. It's a new level of life. You see, if you're a Christian, you don't have to keep living in the old wilderness. If you're a Christian, there's a new life. If you're a Christian, there's new victories. You don't have to carry around yesterday's defeats. If you're a Christian, trust God and move toward claiming what he has promised. On the basis of the death of Jesus Christ, of his blood shed, my sins are forgiven. I can move forward in Jesus, and he can accomplish great things through even me and through you. Trusting him. Well, one memorial could not be seen. The other memorial could be seen. Listen, Jesus went down into the water. He came up out of the water. Jesus went into the grave. He came up out of the grave. We're talking about resurrection power. When you walk as a believer, you are walking on this side of the resurrection. We have God's resurrection power available for us. Can't you understand that this thing that you're sweating out, this thing that's before you that you're worrying about and stressing about that's keeping you from being all God wants you to be, can't you understand God's resurrection power is greater than that? There's two reasons for memorials, for this memorial. In 4:6, so when your children ask about these stones, you can tell them about God's victory. Well, you know, you need to tell your children about the victories of God. You need to tell your children about what God's done in your own life. You need to tell your children about what Jesus means to you. And then in 4:24, that all the people of earth might know. Well, you know, when God works in a life, we're not only supposed to tell other people that are close to us, we're just supposed to tell everybody we know, everybody we come in contact with. We are to be a witness to the world. When the priests crossed over the Jordan, you know what happened? The ark came out of the Jordan. You know what happened? The waters came back. Now, you know what? They can look over the Jordan, and what do they see? The wilderness. And they're looking back on it, and they're separated from it. My friend, if you've accepted Jesus as your Savior, that old life, those old obstacles, they're in the wilderness, and Jesus has separated you from it. He's given you a victory that you don't have to go back to. Listen, to go back to the wilderness, you know what they had to do? They had to swim back through the Jordan. It wasn't going to open for them to go back. God makes a way for you to have the victories in life that he wants you to have. Every place you put your foot, every time you claim God's power, you will see God will come through for you. You've got to be willing to trust. Just like you got to trust him in order to be saved, you need to trust him to live saved. Let's stop letting this world defeat us. Let's stop letting Satan have his way. Let's stop letting the devil hold us back from being the people of God, making a difference around us. Let's live on the right side of the Jordan, claiming victories until Jesus comes. Would you stand with me for prayer? Father, I thank you now. I thank you now that you know our hearts, and Father, you know that there are some that have never met Jesus as their Savior, and today more than anything, they need Jesus. I pray, God, that anyone listening that doesn't have Jesus right now would invite Jesus to come into their heart and to save their soul. I pray, Father, that those that are in this room would come forward and just say, I want Jesus, that we might pray with them. Father, I pray for believers. Father, we are living in a world of defeated believers who just won't cross over the Jordans before them. God, I pray that this will be the day. This will be the day we take your power, Father, and we take the step of faith and we cross over the obstacles in our life and we accept your victory. That we live in your victory. And Father, that we will tell your victory. Guide us to decisions right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we sing, would you come?